you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us today, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, that you would remind us about who you are. Lord, teach us. Help us to hear and help us to be changed. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. In the book, A Man Called Peter, which is a story about the Senate chaplain and Presbyterian pastor Peter Marshall, his wife and biographer recounts a strange incident that happened to Peter early in his life. He was working in the English village of Bamber, 16 miles from the Scottish border. One dark and starless night, walking from a nearby village, Peter was making his way through moorlands. He was having great trouble seeing the path, for the blackness was inky and eerie. Suddenly he heard his name, Peter! There was urgency in the voice. Yes, Peter replied, stopping and listening. There was no reply. So he resumed walking. Suddenly the voice came again, even more urgently, Peter! He stopped dead still, trying to peer into the impenetrable darkness. And he stumbled and fell to his knees. Putting out his hand to catch himself, he found nothing there. And as he cautiously investigating, feeling around in a semicircle, he found himself to be on the very brink of an abandoned stone quarry. Just one step more would have sent him plummeting into space and to certain death. The incident made an unforgettable impression on Peter. There was never any doubt in his mind about the source of the voice. He felt that God must have some great purpose in his life to have intervened so specifically. I wonder if we sometimes can't see very well ahead of us or into the future. Through all the gloom and confusion and stress and busyness of life. I wonder if we too are sometimes in danger, even when we don't know it, or know when, or why, or where. I wonder if we know where our help comes from, or our healing comes from, or our anointing or our calling comes from. As we think about those things, let me remind you where we are and where we've been. During the season of Lent, we've been talking about Psalm 23, probably one of the best known and most used passages in the whole Bible. But when something becomes this familiar, it can lose its depth and its meaning. And so throughout Lent, we've been taking this passage phrase by phrase by phrase and adding some flavor and context and history back into it, to see if we can't bring it back to life. More than that, I'm hoping that we recognize just how deep and how applicable the Bible really is, as this 3,000-year-old song still cuts through all of the noise and clutter and speaks to us with particular relevance and clarity, even today. And so let's listen to or even join in as we read together Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. That's the phrase that we're going to be talking about today. But first, I want to take a little aside, and I want us to talk about oil, or more specifically about olive oil. And then we'll tie it all back in a couple minutes, get back to our passage, and then see how it all relates to our lives, our faith, and our world. But we begin first in the pantry, because for most of us, the reason we know anything about olive oil at all is because of cooking. Of course, it used to be used for a lot more than that. In fact, if some of you are familiar with Greek mythology, you may know the story of Athena and Poseidon. They were in a contest to figure out who could find the most useful gift. Poseidon brought war horses, and Athena brought an olive tree. And why? Well, it's because olives are used for more things, are more useful. Olives obviously were eaten. Olive oil obviously was used for cooking, but there are a lot of other things that they were used for in the past. Olive oil burns brightly, so it was used in lamps. Actually, it was also used sometimes as part of an Israelite offering to God, maybe because it both had value and because it was combustible. Another way they used olive oil was on the skin as a moisturizer. Sometimes it was mixed with spices and good-smelling things to create perfumes. They would even use some of these perfumes to anoint the dead so that they wouldn't smell as bad. In the time of Jesus, when a guest came over for dinner, you would offer them water to wash their feet with, since they wore sandals and walked around in the dirt a lot, but you would also offer them oil for their face. This probably makes a couple of Bible stories make a little bit more sense. This is why when the woman comes to Jesus and pours perfume on his feet and the host gets mad, Jesus admonishes the host by pointing out that while the host didn't offer oil for his head, she perfumed his feet. He further explains that she's done what she's done by telling those present that she's prepared his body for burial, because he knew that he was approaching the crucifixion soon, which is appropriate as we enter into Holy Week. But then on a much, much deeper and more interesting level, more interesting especially in light of our sermon, oil was also used to help. It was used to heal. It was used to hallow. Practical uses, medicinal uses, and spiritual uses. Which actually brings us to our topic at hand. Today, we're talking about how the Lord anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. And to get at that, we first need to understand our situation, namely that we share many concerns and contagions and conflicts. But it's to this situation that God, our Good Shepherd, then provides a solution. He helps, he heals, he hallows, or sanctifies, or makes holy. And then finally, we should recognize that that does something in us, that changes us, such that our cup overflows. But we'll start first with the problem, the concerns, the contagions, the conflicts of life. Of course, as we do, we need to be careful, because there are a few very clear and present dangers that we all are currently facing. And we'll speak to those, but I also want us to take a step back from our present moment to recognize some of the larger challenges that we always face, which actually brings us back to sheep. I recently read this in a book called While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks. My mother, a hill farmer of consummate skill, is still amazed at the variety of ways a sheep can find to die. Even the hardy Welsh mountain breed with which I was brought up are susceptible to braxy pulpy, kidney staggers, pneumonia, pasturella, twin lamb disease, cancer, hypothermia in the winter, maggots in the summer, scab, scarpy, foxes, crows, and dogs. They push their heads through fences and get stuck. They climb trees to pick at foliage and get hung up by their horns or legs. They fall down banks, get bitten by snakes, and stung by wasps. They tumble into ponds and streams. They gorge themselves on fallen ash leaves, roll on their backs, and blow up like balloons. They poison themselves on ragwort. Ram's horns regularly grow into their own heads. They starve, freeze, get depressed, and fall ill. But a good shepherd can counter every affliction. But a good shepherd can counter every affliction. That may be important in a minute. three of those dangers are worth expanding upon. We've actually talked about them at some point in the past before, but we may find that they're also relevant to our lives as well, even if they take slightly different forms. The first of those for sheep are flies, and then I want us to talk about scab, and then the third is fighting. More generally and generically, you could think about this as concerns, contagions, and conflicts. But we start with the annoyances, the aggravations, the worries of life. For sheep, we're talking about flies. And the trouble that sheep have with them is that these insects like to lay their eggs in the sheep's moist noses. And when these eggs hatch, the larvae become even more trouble to the sheep. This can horribly agitate the sheep. It can be so bad that sheep will actually beat their heads against rocks, trees, fences, and anything else they can find to try and alleviate the aggravation. Some sheep have even killed themselves to end their torment. But that's just the concerns of life. Then there are the contagions, the diseases. At the moment, this is obvious enough for us, but in sheep, one example of this is called scab. Scab is highly contagious. It is a disease that's passed when one sheep with the disease touches any other sheep. And as sheep are very social creatures, as sheep tend to flock, this disease quickly spreads to all of them. Concerns, contagions. And then there's conflict. Male sheep at certain times of year will try and establish dominance by fighting with other males. And they fight by crashing their heads together. And if left to themselves, they can actually kill or at minimum seriously injure each other. And of course, while we don't do anything quite so silly, you may have found that at times you rub someone the wrong way, or get on someone else's nerves, or maybe even butt heads with someone occasionally. Because sometimes even we have trouble getting along. And of course, all of these problems don't just affect us, but they affect those around us. They affect the whole flock. Sometimes they're even contagious. More than that, while these problems tend to start from the outside, they soon start to affect us on a deeper level on the inside. They can cause anxiety, frustration, anger, and fear. These are just some of the problems that we deal with. But thankfully, we have a good shepherd. Interestingly, it's to these problems that our good shepherd has a solution. Our good shepherd provides help, brings healing, even hallows or sanctifies. But again, let's start with those troubled sheep from a moment ago. Let's see if a good shepherd really can counter every affliction. Let's see if a good shepherd can help. We had talked about flies tormenting and annoying a sheep, even a whole flock. We had talked about some of the concerns of life. What is a good shepherd to do? Interestingly, a shepherd will anoint the sheep's head with oil. The shepherd will put oil on the sheep's head and nose to not only prevent flies from laying their eggs, but to help heal the already present infections. And this anointing calms and comforts the worried sheep and the disturbed flock. So that's the concerns. But what about the contagions? We had talked about scab a moment ago, a very contagious disease that spreads through a whole flock. What's a good shepherd to do? The shepherd anoints the sheep with oil. They'll dip the whole sheep in a huge dipping tank with linseed oil and some other chemicals, and very soon the disease goes away. Contagions, concerns, but what about the conflict? What about those sheep that are fighting? What would you do? You guessed it. You anoint their heads with oil. or in the case of author and shepherd Philip Keller, he actually anoints their heads with axle grease. So when they're getting ready to fight, they line up and they run at each other. And when they're about to crash into each other, they just glance off each other in kind of a ridiculous way. And then they just stand there for a while, really confused and frustrated and a little bit embarrassed, trying to figure out what happened. And very little damage gets done. You see, a good shepherd helps. This reminds us that we have someone on our side, someone in our corner, someone who is with us. I imagine that this brings a sheep and a flock, and maybe even us, a great deal of peace to know that someone is there who can help. Of course, it's not just help, it's also healing. And really, that's what we need maybe on a deeper level. Because the reality is that our world can be a hard place, a hurting place, a place that needs to be healed. There are so many relationships that are broken, so many places where our world just seems to be falling apart. So much of our world has just become dark or damaged. There are even areas maybe in our own lives, spiritually, emotionally, maybe even physically, where we now need healing. Healing from a sickness, healing from an addiction, healing from sin, healing from a deep hurt, healing from grief. And this is just another reason for anointing someone with oil. Oil does have some medicinal value to the skin, but much more beyond that, it was used as a spiritual symbol of life and healing, of God bringing restoration, of God bringing healing. Because a good shepherd heals. And God doesn't just bring that healing into our lives, but into our communities, into our cities, into our countries, into our world. God is still working to redeem his fallen world. I imagine that brings a sheep, a flock, even us, a great deal of hope. Knowing someone is actively working to heal. But then oil also hallows. And this may be the strangest one for most of us, and yet maybe the most important one as well. To hallow, to sanctify, is to make something holy, to set it apart, to designate it as special. When Aaron becomes the first high priest in the book of Exodus, Moses poured oil on his head to show that he was set apart, that he was special. In the Old Testament, the altar and the other holy things had to be set apart, made special, made holy, and so they poured oil on them to set them apart. King Saul, later King David, are anointed with oil by Samuel to mark them as future kings. And we're not surprised when we find the Holy Spirit becoming more present to these set-apart ones after their anointing. In many ways, this is what the oil signifies. It's a symbol, a sign of God's presence. It meant that you were the Lord's. It doesn't have any special properties. It's not magic. It's just plain oil. But it's a sign that the Holy Spirit was upon you, that you were set apart, that you were special, that you were chosen, that you are holy. It meant that you were no longer average or ordinary. Instead, you are God's. Which means that if God were picking a team, you would be one of the ones he would want on God's team. If God had to bet on someone, he'd bet on you. God doesn't bet, but that's a different story altogether. If God had to pick someone to hang out with, God would pick you. If God needed someone to be quarantined with, it would be you, because God loves you. But this also means that we have the choice to respond to God's anointing by doing the work that God has anointed us for, called us to. In other words, our anointing implies that God has something in mind. He made us for something or to do something. And as much as God is at work restoring and redeeming creation, God also invites us to partner with Him in these same works. Because a good shepherd hallows. God sets us apart so that we can do God's work. God has given us work to do. So to sum up, our situation is that we have concerns and contagions and conflicts. And these get in the way. They hold us back. They overwhelm us. But God anoints our head with oil. And in so doing, He reminds us that God helps, God heals, God hallows. But what does that mean for us? What is the outcome of all of that? How do we evaluate how we are doing? And interestingly, that may be the last part of today's passage because it says that our cup overflows. This is a picture of plenty, of abundance, of more than enough. God has extended not just His help towards us, but His blessings upon us. And one of the things I've been struck by over the past few weeks is how blessed we really are. Of course, it has become more apparent because of some of the convenience of life has been taken away. Suddenly it's harder to work. Suddenly it's harder to buy food. Suddenly it's harder to rest. And yet, even with those things missing, many of us are refinding some of the blessings that have gotten lost in all the busyness and stress of what had been normal before. How grateful will we be to be able to go to a grocery store again and find exactly everything we're looking for? How grateful will we be to go out and eat at restaurants, to spend time with other people in close proximity, to hang out with friends and family and others? I've even heard of one or two people that are actually excited about the prospect of going back to work one day, even if it's on a Monday, even if there's a commute. How blessed we have been, and how blessed we are. I mean, you could almost evaluate life by simply saying, "My cup overflows." The problem is sometimes we don't realize it. The problem is sometimes we just look around and see, well, now there's just a mess all over the place. Sometimes we're too so busy trying to keep the cup okay and overflowing that we lose sight of the blessings that are poured out into our life every day. Our cup overflows. God's blessings are abundant. Of course, there's another way that we've been blessed, that our cup overflows. The Old Testament talks about the one who would come, the anointed one, one who would preach good news to the poor, one who would bind up the brokenhearted, one who would proclaim freedom for the captives, comfort to those who mourn, bestow a crown of beauty, one who would anoint with the oil of gladness. This one would be the anointed one, but you may know it by a different title. In the Hebrew, it's translated Messiah. In the Greek, it's translated as the Christ. And in the New Testament, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, is revealed as Jesus. Jesus is the one who binds up the brokenhearted, the one who proclaims freedom to those who are captive, the one who comforts those who mourn, the one who anoints with the oil of gladness. Jesus is the one who helps, who heals, who hallows. Jesus is our good shepherd. Part of the reason that those crowds on that first Palm Sunday were so excited was because the anointed one had arrived. That prayer, "Lord, save us, Hosanna," was answered in Jesus. the good shepherd had finally come. The one who would anoint our heads with oil, such that our cups would overflow. If you would join me in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you so much on this Palm Sunday for your faithfulness, for your presence, for the way that you have been and continue to be our good shepherd. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who helps. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who heals. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who hallows. We pray that you would be doing that in our lives, but much more than that, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our countries, in our world. Because, Lord, sometimes things overwhelm us. Sometimes the concerns grow too great. Obviously, right now, there's a contagion we're particularly worried about. And, of course, at all times, we find ways to be in conflict. And what we need is a good shepherd. We need someone who can come and save. And so, Lord, we ask that you would come even today, even now, as we celebrate this Palm Sunday, as we celebrate the beginning of this Holy Week, as we celebrate you. We thank you, Lord, that you are present with us. And we pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.